Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. Though you may not realize that the ongoing threat of terrorism is affecting your life and that of your loved ones. Each week, Dr. Carol analyzes the hottest topics in terror and helps you and your family reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror.
Notre Dame, not terrorism, really? Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and you are a terrorist therapist. Yes, I know it's not politically correct to say what I'm saying, but let me start out by saying there is no way in hell that authorities, arson investigators, any of the people in Paris looking at the Notre Dame fire, the horrendous tragedy that that is, could possibly know before the fire was even extinguished that it was not terrorism. And did they rush to say this, no matter what this is? You know, they were calling it all kinds of things: involuntary destruction, accident, stray flame, but no, not terrorism. Well, why are they so desperate to deny that it's terrorism? Because in fact, if it did, or if it does turn out to be terrorism, and if it would turn out, if the real cause did turn out to be terrorism, would we ever know? But why don't they want anyone, why were they in a rush to tell us, of all the things it could be, it was not terrorism? Because there would be a revolution. It would be the next French Revolution in Paris and in France, probably, because there is already a lot of anger under the surface, and not so under, because of all the Muslim immigrants that have been allowed into the country. Now, I'm not talking about if it were a terrorist attack. I'm not saying it was by any Muslim. I mean, we're talking about radical extremists, radical Islamists. Just to make that clear, not all Muslims are terrorists. However, a fire and arson investigation, or any kind of fire investigation, takes weeks or months to determine for sure. And they can't even get to some of the parts of Notre Dame as I speak, as you're listening to this. They haven't yet been able to get to all of the places. So there is absolutely no way that they could know that it was not terrorism. And I'm going to be talking to you today about some of the things that indeed point to the fact that it could possibly be terrorism. And it's interesting, I just read an article before starting this today where they seem to be backpedaling a little bit in saying, well, yes, we couldn't really know. You know, I think it turns out that, and this is kind of strange, but it turns out that they had put up a camera not that same day, not long before the fire broke out. And so there may be some things on the camera that will help in this investigation. And it makes me wonder whether maybe that's why they're now backpedaling. But as it's been, anybody who dared to suggest that it could be terrorism has been decried as being Islamophobic, and you know, how dare you, and why would you say? And I mean, you know, it's an overreaction to even the vague suggestion, or just the idea that you would include that as a possibility. And now I don't have any secret information to where I can tell you today that absolutely I know that it is radical Islamist terrorism, but I do have some things to tell you that suggest that it is certainly worth looking into in a more definitive way before shouting out, oh no, it's not terrorism. Before I get into that though, I do want to say that this whole seeing Notre Dame in flames was just personally devastating to me, because I lived in Paris for about 3 years. And I have gone back there since several times. And in fact, I was just back there this past year because my book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror, won the Paris Book Festival Award. So what I'm going to be talking about today in terms of why I think it might be, or at least we cannot rule out terrorism, is based upon years of living there and more recent, being there more recently, and taking the temperature, as they say, of what the feelings are like in Paris in regard to immigrants and Muslims and what's happening to the French culture and the violence that there's been, the increase in violence that there's been since more immigrants have come into the country and so on. So basically, it is political. And so if, the politicians in power not only don't want a French Revolution in terms of people revolting in the streets, mass chaos and violence and so on, but they also don't want to be voted out of office. And there were people in the last election when Macron won. There was Marie Le Pen, for example, who had a much tougher line towards immigrants. So it's basically comes down to politics for the most part. Now, when I lived in Paris and when I visited Paris after I lived there, I of course visited Notre Dame. One of the times that I was there that I remember most clearly is when I went for Christmas Eve midnight mass. That was really special. And I'm Jewish, yet I got carried away with the, I think everybody, almost no matter what religion, you can't help but feel the presence of a God in there, not to mention the beauty of the artifacts and the windows and so on. The one good thing is that they did manage to save some of Notre Dame. And of course, you probably have heard there, lots of people are donating money for the rebuilding of Notre Dame. So let me tell you about some of these things that at least makes one not rule out terrorism. And I'll tell you the, first of all, let me just, I'll save the punchline for later. First of all, one of the things that, makes you scratch your head as far as how you could possibly rule it out in this context, but there have been, over the past year, over 1,000 churches in France that have been vandalized, burned, or burglarized. Even some called Notre Dame, like other Notre Dames. And it is on the hit list of terrorists to destroy churches because, clearly because they don't want people believing in other religions. Especially in the past 2 months, this destruction of churches has increased in the past 2 months. So how much of a stretch is it to think about them wanting to destroy the crown jewel of churches, Notre Dame? There is also a pattern of terrorists destroying in general, not just churches, but destroying historic sacred monuments, artifacts. Lots of artifacts in the Middle East, for example, have been destroyed. Archaeological digs have been plundered because they want to rewrite history. And of course, Notre Dame has an incredible over 800 years of history and all of the things in it and all of the significance that it has, no matter what religion you are. Also, we know that terrorists are particularly good at timing, picking icons and picking the timing. Things that, in other words, they enjoy having a greater impact by picking things that you're really going to be more and more upset about by terrifying you, upsetting you, depressing you. And the timing of this, it was Monday, the Monday after Palm Sunday and before Easter. So it was during Holy Week. Now, if you're going to destroy Notre Dame, would you, and you were a terrorist, would you not want to pick Holy Week? More. First of all, I guess one of the things in addition was that there seems to have been a big spread of time between the time that the fire broke out, which is another thing. There's a very strange thing about when the fire broke out. The first alarm rang at 6:20, and then supposedly someone went to look for a fire and they couldn't find the fire. And then the alarm rang again at 6:43. Now, what was that all about? There is also in Paris now, over these past months, a lot of rioting in the streets by what they call les vestes jaunes, the yellow vests. People who are protesting, essentially or ostensibly, they are protesting the taxes and the economic conditions. But surely there are terrorists amongst these vestes jaunes who are stirring the crowd up. And of course, you know, obviously immigrants in general have very poor economics. And so it overlaps, really. Well, I'll stop there for now. And when we come back, I'll continue to tell you reasons why we should not just so quickly totally rule out the possibility that it is terrorism. Welcome back. Before the break, we've been talking about all the reasons why we shouldn't just offhand and before the fire is even out in Notre Dame, just proclaim to the world that there is no way that this is terrorism, which is essentially what the authorities in Paris did. And that in itself, actually, is a reason to suspect that they may know something that we don't know yet and may never know. Or that, you know, obviously, as I was talking about earlier, there are reasons why they don't want to stir up the Parisians and the French in general to be more angry about the invasion of the immigrants. Now, if I had to say, you know, what I think the cause of the fire came from, and I actually do, I'm not afraid. I mean, I know, I'm risking people saying, oh, you're just an alarmist, you're obsessed with terrorism. Yes, I am, as the terrorist therapist. But there are just so many hallmarks, as I've started to recount, that I do think, and again, I do not know any inside information, but if I had to propose a scenario, a logical scenario, I would say that it was probably one of the workmen. Now, they talk about how they're not quite sure yet where it started. They talked about the attic. They talk about underneath the spire, this camera that they now are talking about, that they're, you know, they installed a camera, which is also kind of interesting. Made me wonder whether that was connected, that they wanted everybody to find out ultimately who started the fire. But I would say that it was probably one of the workmen. And in Paris, a lot of the immigrants are workmen. And that would be a perfect way, if you're going to burn down Notre Dame, a perfect way would be to get a terrorist in, have a job as one of the workmen in restoring the cathedral. Because that's what they've been saying, that they think that it has to do with something to do with the restoration of the cathedral, because there were, you know, that was, I mean, that maybe that's where the fire or the electricity or, you know, they haven't, of course, they can't say exactly what yet, but that's what's changed. That's the new thing that's been happening, the reconstruction of the cathedral. So this is a perfect opportunity for, you know, we've seen this already with terrorists getting hired in various occupations that give them a great opportunity to commit an attack. So now the company that has been working on the reconstruction is called Le Bras Frère, which means the brother's arm. Now, and it's the company is a family-owned company, but it has 140 to 200 employees. Those are the figures being given. Now, in 140 to 200 employees, do you mean to tell me that there could not have been one terrorist who somehow managed to get employed in there? I would think it is possible. And also, just the name of this company, now you could take it as, you know, there were brothers in the family who work in this company. And so you could look at it like that. And maybe that was the origin of the name, the brother's arm, you know, the brothers like arm in arm. But it's kind of ironic that because terrorists think of themselves as brothers and arm in arm, that kind of thing. Just an irony. What else? Well, one thing for sure, Notre Dame it's not like a new idea for terrorists to think about burning down Notre Dame. This has been on the top of their hit list, one of the top icons on their hit list for a very long time. And in fact, there was a previous attempt to burn down Notre Dame. You know, it's interesting. And all these people who are saying, oh no, can't be terrorism, the people in France, oh no. They want us, I guess they're hoping that we're going to forget about the attack or almost attack that was fortunately stopped before it blew up. But there was an attempt at an attack on Notre Dame in 2016. Three women who were radicalized, getting their instructions from ISIS, put a Peugeot car, drove a Peugeot car next to Notre Dame. It had gas cylinders in it and a barely smoked cigarette that was thrown in. Fortunately, it didn't explode, and these three women were caught soon after. So, again, it is not a new idea. And they have not taken it off their hit list. What else did I want to talk about? For one thing that is interesting is how the similarities between 9/11 and the Notre Dame incident. And that is, you know, of course, the pictures of Notre Dame burning could have been put side to side with 9/11. There are so many similarities: the fire, the smoke billowing, the ashes falling down on people. The main difference, and the spire falling, you know, the towers falling, the twin towers, and then the spire on Notre Dame falling, and both of those being the heart-stopping moments of the whole incident. The main difference between 9/11 and Notre Dame is that when 9/11 happened, most people did not immediately think that this could be a terror attack. They were thinking of it possibly as being originally with the first airplane into the Twin Towers. They were thinking that it was just some errant pilot, a drunk pilot, or an accident. Something was wrong with the pilot, and this was an accident. And then, of course, when the second plane hit the second tower, then people started wondering, could this be some kind of an attack? But again, people weren't thinking immediately of terrorists because there really hadn't been an attack, certainly of this magnitude, in the United States by radical Islamists. That was by Al-Qaeda. Now, here in Paris, however, when Notre Dame burst into flame, I can assure you that the immediate reaction was, could this be a terror attack? Because Paris has suffered through horrendous, horrendous terror attacks, especially in 2015. But then there was the Nice attack as well. You know, they are more used to being concerned about, thinking that that's a real possibility to have an attack. And so that is undoubtedly why the authorities in Paris were so quick to tell people, oh no, it's not terrorism, because they knew people were thinking it was terrorism. You may, you know, if you have any kind of connection, personal connection, well, to Notre Dame or to Paris, certainly, or France. I mean, that was Notre Dame was a spot where over 13,000 people visited a year from all over the world. So you may have visited, and if you have some kind of personal connection to it, or some kind of personal connection to 9/11, maybe you lost somebody, or you were in Manhattan, or you were in Washington, D.C., or in Pennsylvania, this may well trigger some feelings of PTSD, some memories, for example, being flooded by memories of 9/11, for example. And of course, you know, memories of, I mean, seeing the picture of Notre Dame, it may well meld together. And when we come back, I will tell you about an interesting coincidence, if you can call it that, which did meld 9/11 and the Notre Dame fire together. You can call it a coincidence, or call it someone knowing something that perhaps we don't yet know. When we come back, we'll talk more about this non-PC topic of how, yes, indeed, it could possibly still turn out to be terrorism that perpetrated the Notre Dame fire. Welcome back. We're talking about the horrendous, terribly sad Notre Dame fire. Not terrorism, really? Not sure if I've convinced you so far with my reasons for why we shouldn't rush to claim that it's not terrorism. But let me tell you some interesting additional things that have happened since the fire started. First of all, there was some new kind of internet algorithm on YouTube that showed it was streaming video, and it showed Notre Dame burning. And then it had underneath in gray, a gray block of text, it had a description of 9/11. Now, call that coincidence, call it that the algorithm knows something that the authorities in Paris don't want to tell us, or perhaps don't know. But what in that algorithm would have triggered this description of 9/11? Kind of freaky, kind of maybe, you know, maybe they saw, maybe the algorithm put it together and did indeed think that it had something to do with terrorism, and connected it to the falling of the Twin Towers, and just the spire falling and the Twin Towers falling, and so on. Now, let me tell you about something interesting that happened since the towers fell. Since Notre Dame started burning. There is a man who, his name is Mark Lamparello, who was captured at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. So whether or not the burning of Notre Dame turns out to be terrorism, it has already inspired copycats. And this man went into St. Patrick's Cathedral, which is, you know, the cathedral in New York, perhaps in the whole United States. It's, you know, it's kind of comparable to Notre Dame in terms of it being of that great icon status. And he walked in and he was carrying gas and gas lighter fluid and something that would spark the fire. So all, in other words, all the equipment that he would need to start a fire. And fortunately, there was a security guard who noticed this man coming in, carrying these containers of gasoline and lighter fluid and so on. And they stopped him. And he said that he was, that his car, that he was just walking through the church, that his, he had parked his car on the other side and his car had run out of gas. And so he went to get gas and he's just bringing the gas back to his car. So they followed the man to his car and lo and behold, the car was not out of gas. So they, their suspicions were confirmed that this was something very, you know, fishy. And so they arrested him. And he is now in custody still. And as they were doing investigations, they found out that this man, who's from New Jersey, had already previously, but after the Notre Dame fire, so, you know, since then, he had gone into a church in Newark, New Jersey, and he was staying there. He was loitering there. And when they asked him, when the security guards there asked him what he was doing, you know, why was he staying in the church when nobody else was? And I guess if there was a service, it was over. And, you know, why was he still hanging around there? And he got arrested for trespassing, but they let him go. And that's when he then, after that, went to St. Patrick's Cathedral, and this time with cans of gasoline. Now, it is very fortunate that they found this man, not only fortunate that they found him before he could douse St. Patrick's with gasoline and light it, but also they found that he had a plane ticket, a one-way plane ticket to Rome. Any guesses what he was going to do in Rome? Obviously, try to torch, burn up, throw gasoline on the Vatican. And the Vatican is the number one target for terrorists. That is their prize. That is what they would like to destroy most of all. And so, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, maybe, you know, presumably there are lots of guards around the Vatican too, but still, imagine if he did manage to get in and maybe got more clever along the way and wasn't so obvious with his carrying the cans of gasoline. It could have been another disaster. Now, beyond that, another new thing that's been happening is that ISIS, although they have not claimed yet a direct link, in other words, they haven't, you know, named a person and said that so-and-so is a devotee of ISIS, has pledged his loyalty to ISIS. They haven't come and claimed it per se yet, but they have been doing other things. They have been putting pictures of Notre Dame in flames all over the internet. They've been using it as propaganda. They have been saying that this is retribution and punishment to people, to non-believers, people in the West who are non-believers. And they have written threats over the picture of Notre Dame burning. They are threatening to burn it. They, you know, they're not saying whether they had a hand in this fire, but they are threatening in the future to burn it down in the future. Like, you know, there's all this talk of restoration. We're going to Macron is saying we're going to rebuild Notre Dame, which of course would be great, but ISIS is already threatening to burn it down if it gets built up, or maybe even before it's completely restored. And the ISIS wrote, "Wait for the next." This is over a picture of Notre Dame burning. Wait for the next. And in fact, you know, you could take it to imply, wait for the next. In other words, we did this one, wait for the next one that we're going to do. Now, again, just to caveat, I do not have any secret information. I do not have any firsthand information knowing that a terrorist did cause this fire at Notre Dame. However, I do say that this rushing to judgment too quickly by saying that, like, of all the things that it could be, it's not terrorism. It's just ridiculous. And we have to look at that. That is so important to examine because we have to question what we hear in the media, see in the media, what these authorities are saying, what politicians are saying, you know, why, what Macron's reason for this is, why he doesn't want to take a chance of people becoming outraged at Muslim immigrants and therefore in the next election, either, I don't know actually if he can run again, but not voting for him or not voting for people on his party, in his party, because they would want to vote for someone who had a stronger stance towards not allowing immigrants to come into France. There is already so much anger. I can tell you this firsthand. As I said earlier, I have just been in Paris. And I know I see it fermenting under the surface, not so under the surface. People will come right out and tell you if they trust you that they can, you know, express their views. They are not happy with this mass immigration, this influx, this invasion, as they call it, into their country. And if indeed it comes out, if it's true, it still might not come out, but if it's true and it comes out that it was a terror attack, there will be another French Revolution. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist. If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism4kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.